Happy holidays, Brendan.
Greetings, Alan.
The Not A Thing Podcast, episode 160. Uh-oh. I didn't write it down.
Yes.
What, 169?
169
is 169. On the air. After much ballyhooing this year, we've accomplished 169 of these. Not this year, I guess.
Not this year. That'd be impressive.
Yeah.
That'd be over, I don't think people want to hear us that much.
Well, we're happy to at least crank them out when we can. And this week, as promised, we are definitely going to talk Star Wars. So we're going to enter spoiler land very soon. But first, not a spoiler, but definitely a thing. We have a guest, Todd Rosenthal.
Hey guys,
welcome.
Hey Todd, good to hear you again. We didn't. We're not seeing you this time. This is actually how Brendan and I normally record the podcast. You may remember, folks, on the air that I had Todd on as a guest host when Brendan was moving. It was actually Todd and Jason. Jason, who was supposed to be on today, but is not. We'll just ignore it. That'll be okay. Is someone knocking? Am I hearing that?
Yeah. That's just in my head.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get into the podcast.
Somebody's trying to get into the podcast my sound booth here.
Is that Jason trying to get into the show late?
It might be. I don't know. That'd be weird if he was like at my house, but that'd be strange. But
Santa?
Santa came early.
Well, Todd is joining us for a very special Not A Thing podcast. Like we said last week, we are devoting pretty much 100% of this show to Star Wars, The Force Awakens, which came out last week, did all sorts of ridiculous box office money, apparently.
Yeah, quarter of $1 billion.
Jeez,
crazy.
In the first weekend.
Yeah, so they're doing okay, but before we jump into Star Wars, we are going to jump into space and back along with the good folks at SpaceX. So Elon Musk, our latter-day Tony Stark, has accomplished what he's tried at least two times, which was to launch a rocket into orbit. And then have it land vertically so it could be reused. So we have reusable rockets from top to bottom, at least the first stage anyway, which is wild, because I think this is the first reusable orbital rocket. I forget what the first is, but well, yeah.
They've done it before non-orbital.
Okay, right.
Right?
Right. Yeah.
And that was also what Amazon did.
Right. With their, what was it, Blue Dot program? Wasn't that what it was called?
The less ever program?
Yeah. Less awesome name than SpaceX, for sure.
That was pretty cool. Vertical landing rocket.
Yeah. But congratulations for them. I know that they had a couple mishaps in the past to get that running, but they got it running for real. So hooray! Maybe we can all do space stuff real soon.
Well, one difference is the previous test, they're trying to land on a platform in the ocean.
Right.
They decided just to land on land, which I don't know why you wouldn't have done that in the first place.
That seems like a better idea.
Yeah, that seems like step one. Get back to terra firma.
Yeah.
I think I think the plan was, you know, because it was on water, there would be less likelihood of it like exploding and burning a whole lot of stuff. But
there's so much land. We got so much land to blow up.
We have deserts.
Right.
And
yeah, we used to detonate nuclear weapons. All over the place. I think we can handle a rocket.
We probably still are.
Yes. Well, in any case, the Falcon 9 rocket took off and landed. There's a really cool long exposure picture that someone took of it, of the rocket firing, and then you can see the glow of it, but you can also see in the distance the retro rockets as it lands. So it's just, but it's one shot. It's really nice. We'll link it in the show notes. That will be the only non-Star Wars thing we talk about today. Probably we're probably going directly into spoiler territory immediately after this.
Do not.
If you haven't seen the movie, what is your problem?
Yeah, seriously,
it's been up for days now.
Yeah, I saw it twice.
I know. Saw it three times. Somebody saw it three times.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there's no excuse. It's while tickets were sold ahead of time, and that apparently accounted for a pretty good amount of the box office take. I was still able to just get tickets the normal way, and that worked great. So I think you know, it's definitely viewable in a few different ways. It's in 2D, 3D, IMAX, and D-Box. I saw it in 2D and in 3D. I think it was good in 3D, although I'm not sure it needed to be in 3D.
I saw it in real 3D XD.
Ooh, the good sound.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if I could have seen it in XD, I would have, because the sound for that is really the big draw for me. 3D, I really can, I've pretty much always said I could take it or leave it, but the sound in that is so good. There's a lot of just bass rumbles when they're doing anything.
Yeah, and
especially stuff with the Force. So I think that probably benefited a lot from the XD theater treatment. Although I'm guessing IMAX would probably have been even louder.
That's next on my list.
I did notice things behind me more in that one for some reason. So
yeah, I think because we saw it together for that first showing,
right?
And I think the sound was not up to snuff that first time. So
yeah, I definitely was better in the real 3D XD.
I think if I saw it again, I would love to see it in IMAX in 2D. Although I think I would see it again in IMAX just for the sound, but I don't know. I kind of want to see it in D-Box.
I was kind of curious about, so at the Metreon, they have this Dolby Atmos, or
yeah,
it's like a new sound system that I haven't. So I'm not sure what that sounds like either. So
yeah, I think that's it's a theater only standard, or at least I think at least right now it's a theater only standard, because the encoding is something like, you know, 15 speakers or something, and there's no way someone's doing that at home, or at least I don't know. I don't think I can hang. I don't know where I would put 15 speakers in my home.
Yeah.
Your house is not that big.
But in theory, I think that's supposed to be a theater standard for sound. I don't know it, you know, what it's related to in terms of like IMAX or THX or anything like that. Actually, is THX even still a thing?
Is it a thing?
Yeah.
Because I would have thought it would. I did at both of the showings. I did not see any mention of THX.
Hmm.
Yeah, I saw it listed on a theater times listing, but didn't go to that show.
Maybe they don't do the whole THX intro thing anymore.
Oh no, it's been a while since I've seen the seen those. That used to be a ringtone on my phone.
Oh, nice.
On my dinky little like Motorola Razr.
Wow.
But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about Star Wars.
Yeah. This has been theater chat.
Right.
But I think the nice thing about it is, even though I saw it twice, I'm sure I will see it again in the theater before the month is out. And I'm gonna watch this movie a lot. I can already feel it.
And well, it's short enough that you could do that and not get too burned out. It only clocks in at like 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Oh, that's
oh, okay.
I mean, that's good. Yeah.
That's a movie that needs to be seen in a theater.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't wait. Also, don't be listening to this if you haven't seen it.
Right. Everybody dies.
I mean, Todd, we all die at some point. So, yes, that's that true. Is it.
According to this fortune that I have on my tea, it's, you know, if you're not having fun, you might as well be dead. So,
I plan on dying off screen.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh my gosh. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I think I'll just jump right ahead. I don't think it's too much of a stretch to point that out, that it was a very good movie.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it.
It didn't really have any it didn't have any low points. You know, it kind of stayed pretty even the whole movie. You know, it didn't have any like slow spots or, you know, anything. It stayed pretty well balanced the whole time.
Yeah, there was a good balance of action and kind of development and everything else. And even in the moments where it would, there was a lot of, there was more kind of talking than fighting or shooting. Those moments weren't, you know, very, very long. So you wouldn't ever think like, I don't think there are any sequences in the movie that I don't know, the unfortunate kind of bar for me for that is pod racing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we want to sell a video game.
Yeah.
Yes. Not a thing.
Yeah.
Pod racing, not a thing.
Yeah, I think they, this movie, they just, yeah, I just felt, that was the one thing when I walked away from it, I just felt like it was pretty well thought through. And these movies are tough because, especially when they haven't had a movie in a long time. And he has to do a lot of setting up of things for this movie because it's going to be a series again. And so that's challenging sometimes, I think, especially when you have a brand new audience that maybe hasn't seen all the other movies. And so he has got like to introduce new characters and he has to connect them with the old characters. And so, yeah, I think overall they did a pretty good job at that.
It had a lot of fan service in it, but that's what they need. We needed to be serviced. Like, they owed us. They had a lot of cleaning up to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was on 538.com. And, you know, normally it's all like political news. Occasionally it's sports news. And they decided to do an article about how well reviewed does The Force Awakens have to be to erase the bad reviews of the prequels?
It must have done it. It's got a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes and a 92% audience score,
which is amazing.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. I think mathematically it's not possible because it would have to score over 100% in order to beat three movies of bad out. But at the same time, it's amazing that to have that few negative reviews. And I actually don't know anyone that had more than like a passing nitpick about the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could always, I always think that if you're getting to just nitpicks, the movie was probably pretty good.
Yeah. And the biggest complaints I've heard have been related to how many bits of dialogue and plot points were recycled from previous movies.
Hmm.
But that's really what people want. They want that nostalgia factor. They want to see what they saw before, but different.
Well,
I would think in this first movie, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's, it's actually not unreasonable to have that. I think the thing that they needed to do was get the tone right. Because the tone for the prequels was very different. It was so much, just so much cheesier, and there were so many shots that were just let's show off this crazy ship, or let's look at this weird kind of creature for a very long time. And it was much more. You're exactly right. It's much more like, you know, this is going to be merchandising, and this is going to be a video game, and this is going to be this. The tone was much more like the original trilogy. I mean, it had that same kind of lilt and weight. And I think even if they were recycling little bits of it, it's not, I don't know. I don't think that's unreasonable, because the original trilogy, stories are, you know, there are only so many stories in the universe, I think. And I think there is, having the stories have elements that, are in, you know, in other things is not necessarily a bad thing if it means that you're connecting with them. You know, I mean, there's an element of like, would you consider it lazy to not completely develop a whole new thing? And I think it's not. I mean, the nice thing about this was that it drops you really in the middle of whatever's happening, and it's still followable.
I think J.J. Abrams, you got to give him credit, because, you know, he didn't try to make this his movie.
No, you can tell he loved Star Wars.
Yeah.
Yeah, he didn't try to make this a J.J. Abrams movie. He tried to make this a Star Wars movie.
They put the emphasis back on the wars. Like, and the prequels were so sanitized, and nothing felt lived in. It just all looked fake.
Yeah.
And this he made a lived-in world, which is what you want.
Yeah, with the models he had in this movie, and it just had that, it had this, like you guys said, it has the same feeling of the original three. It had that same kind of gritty, like, non-perfect, feeling that all the, everything in the movie has, you know, nothing, everything's kind of not, nothing's perfect, you know, it's like, it has this kind of rough feel to it, which is nice.
I think,
and Harrison Ford looked like he gave a shit. He actually acted and was Han Solo again.
Yeah,
which is not his MO for a while.
I think the grittiness and how it looked. I think you're right, Todd, that it, and I think a lot of that comes from them using a lot of practical effects.
Yep.
Explosion, I liked, real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when I watched it the second time, I noticed, you know, they really took the time to kind of blend like the original kind of look and feel of it with the kind of the gritty, like, built model look with some of the newer, like, you know, with the Millennium Falcon flying over the ocean and the water spraying. You know, and little things like that, which were really nice little, you know, but it still felt, it didn't feel cheesy or anything like that.
Oh yeah. When they do the reveal of the Falcon, I mean, I didn't see it coming. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
I was totally surprised. And it got cheers all three times I saw it.
Nice. Yeah. What, that's actually a good point. What else was like that got audience reactions? I mean, I feel like it's really rare for me to go see a movie where people are fine with cheering and stuff. It takes kind of a lot. There were cheers definitely when Han Solo shows up. There were cheers for the Falcon. When when Rey gets the lightsaber.
Yep.
Yeah, it was good. It provokes reaction.
right. Yeah, I mean, I think that it was weird because I wonder how many people were actually cheering that had seen the movies originally or just kind of went with the crowd, you know?
I hope everyone that was like there were.
I just love how reliably built those ships are. I mean, hey, this ship's been sitting in the desert for 2 years and it could still fly.
Or however.
I love how she wasn't great at flying it to begin with, just like bumping into the ground.
That was great.
That was much more realistic.
Yeah, she turns like through the sand. She kind of uses the sand to kind of turn them. Yeah. That was really cool. There's some really cool, just like when she cut the engines upside down and like some really good, like shots.
Yeah, I think my favorite shot is the Apocalypse Now shot.
Oh, that was real good.
When the TIE fighters are coming in over over the water and the sun is behind them.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that was cool. The Apocalypse Now shot. That's awesome.
Pretty much any scene with Poe Dameron in it, I was totally in favor of.
Yeah.
He's barely in the movie, and he's one of my favorite characters.
Yeah, totally. No, he was a good character. I did laugh a few times, like a little bit, when they showed like the Death Star, the new Death Star next to the old Death Star.
Yeah.
It's our bigger. New Death Star is four times bigger.
Yeah, I think you're right. The new Death Star. There were a few things where it did just feel like they tacked it on, and it's like, no, it's new. Like Jakku, it's not Tatooine, it's new.
Yeah, right. It's Jakku.
Yeah. Which that's
the
fine.
The sister planet.
And it's not the Death Star. It's new. It's obviously bigger, but I think
what was she eating?
Oh,
I don't know, but I want to try it.
Yeah,
it's like I want to make bread like that.
You know that Disney has already figured out how to do that and are selling it at the parks. I'm sure they have.
Probably are. I'm sure. Because they're basically Star Wars parks now, right? They've converted them to Star Wars, like Disneyland.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, are you going to go to Star Wars Land or whatever they're going to call it?
I know. Somebody I know just went there and they said there was a Star Wars everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
they're making so much money, and I'm fine. I feel fine giving it to them.
I don't. It's funny too. Is when I saw it the second time. You know, when we saw it, Alan, they didn't show any previews.
Right.
But when I saw it the second time, they showed like, oh my god! I'm like, I'm sitting and watching previews for like four superhero movies.
So many superhero movies.
Yeah.
I was like, first they show like Civil War and X-Men Apocalypse and Batman versus Superman. And I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah. Oh, I only got two. I only got Batman, Superman, and X-Men.
Oh, okay. Yeah. They showed, and then they showed some funky Egyptian superhero, I don't know what movie coming out.
Oh. Yeah, I got Star Trek, then Warcraft.
Oh.
And,
oh, okay.
What is that? I can't read my handwriting because it was done in the dark. The Revenant and cool. Jungle Book.
Are they really making a Warcraft
movie? It looks terrible. Yeah. I've seen that attached to a few different movies over the last month or so, and every time the general reaction from the theater has just been groans.
Yeah.
Just nobody wants to see that movie.
And I guess they made it or they shot all of the motion capture and recorded everything like I think it's I want to say it's over a year ago, maybe even 2 years ago. and it's just taken this long to get everything, you know, rendered and set up.
Wow.
Because so much of it is computer generated. It looks like all the humans are human, but I don't know. I feel like it didn't look blended very well.
That sounds like the old Star Wars movies.
Yeah.
Congratulations, you've made the prequels without even having a cool franchise.
I just remember the actors, like, when they talked about it, they said it was so hard acting because they were never acting. They were always acting on a blue screen. Right. They were never, like, doing it in an actual set.
Yeah.
So that was strange.
My favorite story about the making of the prequels is that they had to go in post-production and edit the audio because Ewan McGregor would make lightsaber noises during the lightsaber battles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he could not do it. Yeah. And they had to go in and edit it out. He was so into it.
You know, that makes me respect him more.
Yeah.
Right? He's really the only one that comes out relatively untarnished from those movies.
Yeah, I agree. There's just some really awkward scenes in those movies, like, that were just, it's like, I think that should have been edited out.
No one was there to tell George no.
Yeah.
Right. I just, for some reason, there's this, like, this scene from that movie, and I know we're not supposed to be really talking about those movies, but there was this one scene. They were in a field, like, rolling around something, and it was just such a weird thing that just didn't belong. And I'm like, what is going on here?
Wow.
None of those scenes in this movie. This movie was free of that bullshit.
They didn't have that. I even liked the sledding in this movie.
Yeah. No,
that was cool. That was nice.
No, I thought,
and they were all so characters that were real characters.
Yeah, there were no characters that I thought were were, like, silly, unnecessary. We don't have a Jar Jar this episode.
Oh, thank goodness.
BB-8.
Yeah, there weren't any. There's no goofy characters. That was the one thing this movie had that the other ones didn't even have, most of them.
But it had a bunch of humor. Like, it was still really funny.
Yeah, I think.
Without having to be stupid.
Yeah, so much of that was scenes with Finn. And I did, the one thing that I'd heard when people were talking negatively about it was that they thought he was too comic relief-y. But I wouldn't say that. I think he's much more, like, realistic in a way, just a lot more relatable as a, like, real person, character wise. Because he's making the choice to be good, but he doesn't know how to do anything because he only knows how to do, like, stormtroopering. So I thought that was a great kind of aspect for him personality wise, and I really enjoyed his character.
He was involved in the one scene that made me, I don't want to say cringe, but maybe kind of just say what, when at the end when he's fighting Kylo Ren, he says to him, you know, that lightsaber belongs to me, and he says, come and get it, and then runs straight at him. Wait, what? That line does not make sense. Other than that, that's my only critique. Other than that, I loved it.
That's not bad. That's pretty good.
Well, he does. I think he did what anyone with a lightsaber for the first time would do. You know, like.
I think that scene also put to rest the arguments about the Kylo Ren lightsaber with the triple blades.
Yeah.
That was pretty badass.
Yeah.
He just was burning them with
it. Oh, that was horrifying. That was maybe the most impressive scream.
yeah, that was uncomfortable.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. I mean, he did that a couple times, right? He burned Finn in the shoulder, and then he got burned.
Yeah. But I think you're right, the part about, like, anyone would do that if they had a lightsaber, which I think I got over that. I didn't notice it the first time I saw it, but I was thinking about it later, and then I kind of was kind of like, how does he know how to use a lightsaber?
I mean, yeah, it was crazy. I mean, I was like, there's some pretty raw scenes in that, like when he like just stuck it right through the stormtrooper.
Oh,
like,
yeah, that was like, good.
Yeah.
Whoa.
I think that actually got a cheer in one of the screenings.
That was a cheer scene.
It's like, oh shit.
Yeah, that's one thing I you know, upon like further reflection, he chooses not to kill for the Empire, but he can kill everyone in the Empire.
He kills so many stormtroopers. Within the before they've even left the ship, he's blasting people left and right in that TIE fighter.
Right.
That was
Which was a great sequence.
Yes.
That was that was when it's stuck on the fuel line or I thought one of the funniest scenes in the movie was when Kylo Ren is, you know, the officer delivers the bad news and he just like trashes the entire console and then he like, you know,
he's like anything else
across the room with the Force.
Yes.
Right.
That was a huge shot.
Yeah.
That was I didn't actually realize he was that far away from him at the beginning when he was standing behind him. But that was pretty. That was I loved those scenes because it really showed how like immature Kylo Ren was too.
Mm-hmm.
I like that they didn't try and make him Darth Vader. Like, he wasn't menacing. Like, he seemed dark, but he was very much the petulant child throwing a tantrum.
Like, yeah, totally.
I want it now.
Yeah, you're totally right. I mean, like, I just was like, I think the first time I kind of was like, whoa, was when he, at the beginning, when he just, like, he just took that guy out. Without
they killed Max von Sydow after, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah. He's like, you're out of here. Like, whoa.
Although the, using the Force to capture the blaster bolt in midair.
That.
Oh, so good.
That was so cool.
So and to have it hold there that whole time until that whole scene is over and then he lets it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah, that was a very... There's a little... And I don't know if you guys noticed, but I noticed, like, the choreography was way better. Like, just, like, with the fight scenes and things like that. I mean, people were, like, you know, getting hit and actually flipping around and, like, landing on the ground and things that I didn't really notice in the other movies.
Oh yeah, like during the when they're when the TIE fighters or when the X-wings are like, you know, shooting at everyone on the ground and they're getting like blown, you know, away and stuff. I think the only time I remember seeing like an explosion and guys flying through the air is in Empire Strikes Back when the AT-AT like shoots at one of the rebels who's running away and he like trips and falls because of the blast. But otherwise there's not a lot of like, you know, things are exploding. You would think there would be, you know, blast forces and stuff. So
people got shot. Yeah. A lot of people got shot.
Yeah.
On both sides.
Right.
People, that just was like begging for a Jar Jar.
No. Oof. Let's not say we did.
I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to go there.
But I did really like how they've pretty much returned the Force back to the kind of mysticism that was in the original trilogy. I mean, they didn't say midichlorians once. The you know, like Rey is naturally good at the Force, you know, without specifically being trained. It's you know, the stuff that I already forgot her name. Lupita Nyong'o's character.
Baz?
Baz. Yeah. She talks about the Force in that kind of, you know, energy that's all in the universe. They really return the Force back to kind of a much more mystical kind of thing, almost, you know, religious level kind of thing, and not this weird, like, you know, metric thing that they can just say, well, like, you have 500 midichlorians. Okay. Yeah.
You could watch this movie without having ever seen the prequels.
That's
like
true.
They don't acknowledge them at all.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. There were no throwbacks at all. There were a few callbacks to, you know, to stuff in the original trilogy, but absolutely nothing to the prequels.
I had actually blocked that out of my memory, Alan, the midichlorians thing. So thanks for bringing that back.
Sorry. Yeah. That was so terrible. And
everything, a blood test will tell you if you have the force.
Yeah.
The baby is yours, and it's a Jedi.
Right.
And there was no father.
Oh, that's bad.
Yeah,
that they did make it. They did bring it back to like what it should be. I am a little. I thought it was a little funny though how quickly people forget about the Force.
Yeah,
it's only been 30 years. I mean, it's been like 1,000 years or something like that. But like,
yeah, we don't talk about the Force anymore. And the Jedis. I mean, I guess there weren't any Jedis, but I don't know. I think...
I don't know that it's a thing that everybody would have seen or encountered firsthand. Mm-hmm. And also, even like being associated with them all would get you murdered. So that's pretty good incentive for people to not, you know, just kind of force that out.
Right. Because as it happens in here, right, there was apparently a training class of Jedis, and it looks like Kylo Ren killed them all. So, so yeah, I think you're right. It's not out of proportion to hear that. Although, I did, you know, with that, I think, there's so much stuff that, you know, there's so many questions from things, and I feel like there are not that many more hints in the movie that I missed. Do you know what I mean? For what's gonna happen, I mean, there's not that much to analyze. Maybe the dream sequence that she has when she first touches the lightsaber. I think there's some stuff in that. Like if I watch it again, I'll listen more to what's being said, because there are some words that are said, like whispers of things and the image.
And that's actually Ewan McGregor.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, oh. You hear Obi-Wan's voice and Yoda's voice. One other bit,
huh?
But yeah, I think they've set it up pretty clearly. I'll be surprised. It would be more of a twist if she turns out not to be Luke's kid.
Hmm.
Yeah, that would be. So I guess was that flashback from, like, because they showed Luke and R2-D2 and
yeah,
you know, so I assume that was like his class or something. Like, right. I don't know if, like, because I assume he had a big class of Jedi wannabes, and
yeah,
Kylo Ren basically killed them all.
Right. I think they've set that up as something we'll either see in flashback or at least hear about.
Yeah.
So that's certainly going to be interesting. I really do hope that they have scenes with Jedis in them, like more than one. I would like to see like more lightsabery kind of battles. I don't think we've really done that yet. So
I guess there still isn't really. Luke is the only Jedi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. So, I mean,
it's interesting that they like threw out the entire expanded universe and made it not canon, and then took multiple elements from the expanded universe and used them in this movie. Like in the expanded universe, he has a Jedi Academy. He loses a student to the dark side who kills a bunch of them. One of their Han and Leia's kids turns evil. There's a weapon that destroys multiple planets in the solar system.
So what you're saying is
they took some of the good stuff. Yeah. I was saying it's interesting that they did that.
I'm not super familiar with a lot of the expanded universe stuff other than all of the Timothy Zahn books.
Oh, that's because that's the best one.
Yeah, I read all three of those guys and loved them. So, but I do think having kind of new places is fine. On the, you know, like they, not every movie has to go back to Tatooine and
new places. It's nice.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that Luke moved to Ireland.
Yeah. Why wouldn't?
I know. That's where I didn't know that was where the first Jedi temple was.
So I had done, I think the only bit of reading I'd done, about the movies before I saw them was, an article that I'd read about the craziness that went around writing them and how originally they were going to do the George Lucas treatments of 7, 8, 9 and turn those into a movie, and how the person that was adapting them was like, nope, can't do it. I don't even want Disney money to do it. And then that's when they brought in, Lawrence Kasdan, you know, and I'm like, if you were going to bring someone in, that's the right guy to bring in. The guy that wrote Empire Strikes Back. Yeah. Yeah. He'll do okay. That might be an okay movie. Yeah.
And they brought back, I mean, when they made Empire, I mean, there's the, you know, mythological story of Harrison Ford suggesting that they kill off Han Solo.
Mm-hmm.
He thought it would be good for his, you know, his character to sacrifice himself. And just got to wait 30 years.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh my gosh. No. Yeah, I assume they'll talk more about this backstory and in the future movies.
That was an interesting thing about the original trilogy is they didn't explain a lot in between. It was like, there's a time jump and you just see how everyone's reacted in that interim period.
Mm-hmm.
Like they leave so much to your imagination.
Yeah.
And I think they did a good job of that here.
Yeah. Yeah. And they also, they make it clear that any Death Star can only destroy one planet. No matter how big it is. No, they actually destroyed
five or six.
Four at once.
Yeah.
It did
like
a whole bunch. Yeah.
Right.
That's interesting, the whole sun like recharging thing.
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams loves blowing up planets with big beams of energy.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, it's Vulcan again.
J.J. Abrams, I would love it if he would like make a live action Star Blazers movie.
Oh, well, the live action Star Blazers movie they did make was so terrible.
I know. I know. That's why I wish he would make one. He could blow up a whole bunch of stuff with that.
Yeah, sure. Wave motion gun all over it.
Yeah.
All over it.
Yeah. Yeah. I did see some of that. Like, they had some interesting weapons in the Star Wars movie too. Like they had that one like gun that looked like a, it didn't look like a Star Wars gun. It looked like something from like a anime, kind of had I don't even remember what they called it. I actually forgot what they called it, but it was like had these like kind of curving, like beams. Do you know which one I'm talking? It was like on the when they were attacking the Death Star, or whatever the planet,
mm-hmm.
and they had these guns that popped down and
the ventral cannons.
Yeah, those seemed very kind of anime.
Yeah,
ish.
They needed like 15 more at the same time.
No. Yeah, exactly.
It's like,
so that was kind of cool.
Let's fire rockets at you, but none of them go straight. They all just kind of go in all of these directions.
Exactly.
Clearly, all the interface design people and engineers are with the Rebellion, or I guess the Resistance now.
That's true.
The Empire has shit design.
Yeah.
Another single point of failure.
Yeah.
Right. They have a lot. They keep doing that. They're like, can you job description for a Death Star engineer? It's like must know how to avoid single points of failure.
Well, clearly
they're on a tight budget. They spend so much money on armor and weapons.
Right.
They really scrape off.
And you know, it's they have time you know, they always have time budgeting problems and everything, and I guess they just it just gets lost in the shuffle.
Yeah.
I mean, that's reason enough for the resistance to try and stop them. Like, you don't want those people running your galaxy. They're shit.
You're right. The Empire's got some operational problems. come on, guys, the shields, seriously? Like, you gotta have a backup system
person can go in and turn the shields off for the whole planet.
Yeah, don't okay, guys. We're not going to have the shield on one lever anymore, all right?
maybe don't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. Somebody needs to write a Death Star engineer job description.
Oh, did you guys catch the Daniel Craig cameo?
So, I heard about the Daniel Craig cameo at the end of watching it the first time. And so I was specifically listening for it the second time. I can't tell it's him.
I agree.
No.
I was doing the same thing, and I was like, I don't know. I guess it could be.
Yeah, it was just too processed for me to hear it, I guess. Or I've heard him too much as James Bond, so I don't know what his actual voice sounds like anymore.
Yeah.
No, that's possible. Yeah.
Well, you can hear him on the Nerdist podcast.
Oh yeah, I was doing the same thing, Alan. I was like, somebody told me, they said that's Daniel Craig, and I was like, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
No, I was very happy with all the characters and the acting, and I think it was really tight. There were very few kind of like, oh my god, that's well, I mean, other than Admiral Akbar, you know,
they had to get him in there, you know.
It could be a trap.
I think he says that in every movie.
he should.
I think this movie, I would say, you guys might disagree with me on this, but I think it was the best one for just the environments that they created. Like, I just felt like in the desert, you know, the crash Star Destroyer, and like just these really, like, it created these really big environments that just really looked cool. And, you know, I just remember, like, there's one scene, you know, right before Han Solo got killed, where they were kind of up on top of that bridge going across the, and that was just such a cool looking, you know, just there's some scenes like that that I just thought were really amazing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right. I think the expansiveness of the world, but then also how much detail there was, you know, they're on this kind of planet, but let's not show it so close that all you see is like the one rock that they're next to or whatever.
Right. I mean, I'll never get over, like, you know, the super Star Destroyer in Empire Strikes Back, but like, but you know, it was pretty cool. I thought they did a really good job with that.
Yeah. And I think, we were talking about 3D and what was good and what was bad. And I think, the only scene that I thought, wow, that looked really great in 3D was that Star Destroyer.
Yeah,
that looked awesome.
But it didn't look distracting.
Yeah.
Right. It was like that full frame shot of like the Star Destroyer. That was pretty awesome. And that was the one scene, I think I mentioned this to you, Alan, is that was the one scene that in 3D looked pretty cool.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know if this could happen to you guys, but the opening shot where they show the planet and like the shadow moving over it.
Uh-huh.
maybe I'm crazy, but I thought of Spaceballs when I saw when they started the music, and I was like, they started that music, and like I was like, I just for some reason I thought of Spaceballs.
No,
I was like,
that's very reasonable.
That's a pretty strong reasoning to think that. Yeah.
Oh,
I was like, is he trying to like? I'm like, did he do that on purpose?
Potentially.
I would be okay with that. I would watch. I actually think I have to watch Spaceballs again in light of seeing so much Star Wars over the past, like, you know, a few weeks.
Spaceballs is the fifth best Star Wars movie.
It's true.
It's better than all the prequels.
Yeah.
Oh God, yes. For sure. That was I don't know why that was so funny. I think it was the exact same music. I think that's what made me think of it.
Oh, that was one thing I really liked was the score. I had pre-ordered it, so when I got home from the first viewing, it was just downloading on my phone. And this John Williams has been doing so many scores over the last 10 years that sound just like more John Williams, and it sounds recycled. Whereas this, he used so many elements from the previous scores, but everything else felt really fresh. And I really like it.
Yeah. Yeah, the theme for Rey is the only one that sticks out in my head as being like a separate one. But it was cool to be able to pick that out because it easily could have been just like, let's just use more Star Wars stuff. Yeah.
That was the music when she was like sledding down the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Yeah, it was very cool. Okay, well we are easily covering the expanse of a normal podcast. I don't want to leave though without do we want to predict anything that's happening in the next episode before we go away for the evening?
Why not?
I'll go with the easy one. Rey's Luke's daughter.
I like that. I'm okay with that. I really hope that Kylo Ren stays bad and doesn't get turned back.
Yeah.
I want just the straight up evil. Sometimes it is black and white.
I predict that the general is going to get killed in the next movie. The guy with the red hair.
Oh. Hux.
Yes.
Whatever that guy. I mean, I was
leader
like,
of the space Nazis.
Well, I was like, if this was Darth Vader, you'd be dead.
I mean, the Empire was always like the Nazis, but
it
they
was,
made
totally.
Them extra Nazi-y.
Yeah,
they were, in this movie.
You know what? They were super Nazi. Especially that scene when they were like with all the stormtroopers standing out front. And,
yeah,
oh, yeah.
Like that was like that wasn't the Apocalypse now. So that was like that was something else.
But, that was when he's speaking to everybody and just straight up yelling.
It almost had, because it had the glow of the weapon being fired. It almost kind of had a Raiders of the Lost Ark look to it. With the red reflection in his eyes and just going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Like, they just opened the Ark of the Covenant at a few planets.
Yeah, yeah. I know we didn't talk about this at all, but the new Emperor guy.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, Snoke.
That
guy, Snoke.
That kind
or...
of didn't even look
Snoke?
Like he could hold a lightsaber. But, like...
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we didn't get any information on him.
No.
Yeah,
it's just kind of like random. It's hard
I wonder
to tell,
if he's like the size of... Is he the size of Yoda?
Yeah, yeah, how big is he really? Because it was the... Once I figured out it was the projection, then it's like, oh, he's not that big. I'm sure he's just like regular size, right? They're doing like the thing like how the Emperor had that huge face in during
right.
Empire.
Right.
Yeah, he's not that big. So it'll be interesting to see what they do. When they bring him in,
Okay, here one final question. Hmm. Are either of you going to buy a remote control BB-8 doll?
Oh my gosh.
So I know someone that has one, and I even played with it for a good, like, I don't know, 15 minutes. I like it, but I want it to be bigger. They should just make it full size. It's just scale. It'll be fine.
I know someone that was thinking about putting one on top of a Roomba. So that might be interesting. Hmm.
There's opportunities.
Merchandising there. Opportunities for Roomba here, I think.
Yeah. That's what Star Wars needs, more merchandise.
Right. Because oh my gosh.
This podcast not sponsored by Star Wars.
Unfortunately.
No, we do our Star Wars propaganda pro bono.
Yeah.
Right. We've put in quite a few, pitches for different products in this podcast, I think.
It's in there. It's in there without needing to be explicitly like out there.
Right.
Keen. Well, Todd, thank you so much for joining us for yet another show. I think we're going to have you on again.
Oh, yeah, this is fun. Thanks for inviting me.
Yeah, thanks for joining us.
Excellent. And Brendan, I think next week, if my math is correct on things, is probably going to be our last show of the year. Is that right?
I believe so.
Or are we going to take next week off and then kick it back in January? I don't know.
We'll leave. It'll be a mystery.
Well, we have to have like a long helicopter shot between the two of us now, just before we go to credits.
Wow.
Oh, one last thing. Someone tweeted at Mark Hamill asking him what his reaction was when he read the script and realized he didn't have a single line. And his response was just speechless.
Just like in the end of the movie.
Oh, very nice. Very nice. Keen, well, you guys, I will talk to you in the coming days, most likely. But for you and for everyone else out there, Merry Christmas if you do that. Happy holidays, all that kind of good stuff. And Brennan, I will talk to you next week.
May the force be with you. Always.
Great to see you guys.